Thank you, Bruce. our next speaker, introducing Thaddeus. I get to see Thaddeus in meetings around the metropolitan area. So come share your experience, strength, and hope, Thaddeus.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Thaddeus. I'm an addict. And the first thing I want to do is thank God for letting me be here. It's only through God's mercy and grace. Bruce did an excellent job. He set the tone. You know, it's good to be able to laugh at yourself. To laugh at some of the experiences that you've had since being here. And I had a wealth of experience since being here. I drove down this morning. My significant other and I drove down this morning in the car, and I was telling her that this topic is not a sexy topic. Right? I saw a topic they had recovering on my back. Right? Drama instead of drugs. Right? I said, goodness, where did they get these topics from? But the room is filled. And service is the highest honor that you can have in Narcotics Anonymous. That's what our 12-step kind of tells us. You know, but I had to get there because, like Bruce, it was all about me when I first got here. I was introduced to y'all to DC Area H&I Subcommittee. Hospitals Institution came to the facility that I was in, not promoting treatment, but this is my story, to bring the message of recovery. I sat in the back because I just couldn't understand how could people come in and share and that was going to keep me clean. I was detoxing off of heroin, methadone, alcohol, and I had just started smoking crack. That's when my story came to an abrupt end. Right? And I sat in that treatment facility not knowing what I was going to do, not really believing that this thing could work. And something amazing happened. The ultimate weapon, which was another recovering addict, a guy I had used with years ago, was up there sharing. And when he came in, I looked at him, but I said it looked like him, the guy I knew, Horace W., but that wasn't the Horace that I knew. And they introduced him. He said, Horace W., and I sat up, and I started listening to him. He talked about this program called Narcotics Anonymous. He said, the message is hope, is the promise is freedom. That any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. He said, all Narcotics Anonymous promise you that if you stop using, your life will get better. Don't say you're going to get a job, don't get a relationship, you're going to be reunited with your family. But we guarantee you, we don't even say maybe, we don't even say if. We guarantee you if you stop using, your life is going to get better. And what was happening, he was planting a seed of hope. Because I sat up, I said, my goodness. He had talked about, because he had given himself a chance, he had been on the same job for the last 12 years. Horace didn't work, not the Horace that I knew. I mean, for real, we didn't. We would get up in the morning. And he would take his color TV, and we would go to this place called Weinstein's Pawnbroker. We would pawn the TV so we could get some money to get some legs up on us so we could go out and go around the Beltway and steal all day long. And then come back at night and get the TV. And the last time I saw Horace, we was on Wisconsin Avenue. I went in the Safeway and took what I took and came back to the car. He went in the Safeway, and I'm waiting, but he doesn't come out. And I finally saw the police bring him out. And that was like 15 years prior. Here was Horace standing, sitting in this Narcotics Anonymous H&I meeting talking about this new way of life. He said now he was a go-to person, his family. His family called him when they was having problems. Because he didn't burn bridges, he blew them up. But because he had come in and gave himself a chance, he was able to rebuild some of those bridges. All due to Narcotics Anonymous. He'll talk about coming in here and not finishing school, and now he was in a master's program up at Lincoln University. I said, my goodness. He came and hugged me after the meeting. He told me when I get out of treatment to meet him at this other meeting in D.C. I met him. I went there to look for him, but he wasn't there. And I remember at the secretary's report, they said, if anybody with 60 days or more, raise your hand. And I raised my hand and came up. They told me to come up and get a medallion or a keychain, I'm sorry. And they hugged me, and I got this feeling that came over me. And I said, my goodness. And they said, welcome. And I'm going to say welcome to anybody in here who's new. This is your first time. Welcome, because you don't ever have to use again. That's what they told me. I was given a sponsor. I didn't know what a sponsor was. They said sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program. You need somebody to guide you through this thing called recovery, because that is what you're going to recognize. Recovery is just more than just staying clean. Now, you can stay clean if that's all you want to do, but if you want your life to change, you need to take a journey through the steps, and a sponsor is the one to kind of guide you. Because what's going to happen when you stop using, life continues. And if you don't have any tools to work with, if you don't have any skills to work with, you're going to react the same way you've always reacted. So I was given a sponsor. I didn't pick my sponsor. My sponsor, he was a great guy too, because he really, really, really nurtured me, because I had the whys. I don't know if anybody know what the whys are. Every time he would tell me, he said, well, when you look, this is what I want you to do. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to hit your knees and say thank you. When you go to bed at night, I want you to hit your knees and say thank you. And I say, why? He said, because if you stay clean long enough, you're going to recognize who your greatest source of strength and courage is. I want you to go to a meeting, Thaddeus. And by the way, I don't want you to sit in the back. I want you to sit up the front on the critical care unit. And I said, why? Well, I had to go to a meeting every day. He said, you need to go to a meeting every day. You need to be around people who are recovering, people just like you, people who've been here for a while, a little bit longer than you. And by the way, I want you to learn how to listen right now, Thaddeus. I don't want you to share, because I wanted to share because everybody else was sharing. And I said, well, why can't I share? He said, Thaddeus, this is just a suggestion, because the program is a program of suggestions. What we share in here, we share our experience, strength, and hope. Clean. You got to get some clean experiences to share with us. How you go through stuff, get to the end without using, and come back and share it with us. Right now, you can't really share any experience, strengths, and hope clean. So if you need to share, call me. So here's a roll of quarters. That's what he would tell me. But he was trying to nurture me. He was trying to help me. He said, because you can talk your way right out of this program. Right? And I'm glad for the guidance that I got very, very early on. Because he said, when you stop using drugs, you're going to find out the drugs wasn't your problem. He would hit me with little stuff like that, and I would say, what are you talking about? All these tracks I got on my arm, the drugs not my problem? He said, no. He said, "Not drugs not your problem. Your problem is learning how to have healthy, wholesome relationships. You're going to find that relationships is going to be your biggest stumbling block as you stay clean. Relationship with God, relationship with self, and relationship with others. And that has been my biggest challenge with 22 years clean, is learning how to have healthy, wholesome relationships. I've gotten a lot better, but I still struggle. I heard Bruce talk about damaging relationships. That's a big piece in Narcotics Anonymous. You come in here, you go through the step process, and it's about learning how to amend the damage that we done when we were using. Well, what about the damage we do when we're clean? What about that damage? You know, I kind of prayed. My sponsor sitting on the front row, Walston B. And he guides me. He always talks about being transparent. Because my experience that clean time can work against you sometimes. right? Plenty of time won't let you come to the podium and share honestly a lot of times. You know, but my life is an open book with y'all because y'all know so much about me. And I'm not proud of some of the things that I've gone through, but what I'm proud of, I haven't used, and I'm proud of that God has forgiven me. For real. Reverend told me the other day, he said, Thaddeus, he said, you know, forgiveness, true forgiveness is that when you forgive somebody, you forget. You know, when somebody says, I forgive you, but now I'm not going to forget, they haven't really forgiven you. When you really forgive somebody, you forget. It's like it never happened. Good God Almighty, I'm not there yet. Right? So when I first said God's mercy and grace, I'm only here through God's mercy and grace. The reason why I said that, because I understand it. I understand what mercy and I understand what grace is. Mercy is justice held back. Grace is something given, not served. Given and not deserved. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, a relationship. I'm in a relationship today with my significant other, and I love her. Let me repeat that. I'm in a relationship, and I'm saying that to kill any reservation, not only what you might have for me, but what I might have for you. I'm in a committed relationship with a person that I love, that a relationship that I had damaged years ago. Now, I'm going to show you how God's mercy and grace is. You know, Tim Steph talks about, man, sometimes your defects will get you in a corner you can't get out clean. You dig what I'm saying? And the flesh, boy, you dig what I'm saying? It's bad. And the flesh and lust together, that's almost like a speedball. For real. I'm serious. And I got caught up. And I don't make no excuses. I take full responsibility for what I do. I'm not going to stand up here and I say because what she... No, hell no. You know, it had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with me. It had to do with my inability to accept personal responsibilities. Had to do everything with me learning how to make a commitment and sticking with the commitment. And for a moment, I was weak. And I got caught up. Third step say, for a time, life was pleasurable. Then the euphoria wore off. Start seeing the ugly side of addiction. And I'm talking about doing stuff and hiding and getting caught. Yeah, I got caught. I got busted. As a matter of fact, at this convention years ago. Busted. Right? And the reason I share that because I don't ever want to see the look, the hurt that I caused. True amends means not just saying you're sorry, but it means changing your behavior. And so, you know, through God's mercy and grace, I did damage, but through mercy and grace, we was able to get back together. And we've been together now, about 12, 13 years. But I still feel, listen to me, I still feel the damage from that relationship. I can. Her process is her process, and I love her. You know, so I try to do everything I can to atone for what happened. So the best way I can atone is to practice principles. And it's not always to practice principles when you're in a relationship with another person, because if you're anything like me, I see your defect before you see my own defect. And I'm quick to point out your defect. Tim Step said, what I do, I reverse the Tim Step, Walston. I continue to take your inventory, and when you're wrong, I'll let you know it. Right? So, but you know what? But one thing about recovery, sponsors say how quick you can get rightly related when you get off the track. How quick can you get back? And the worst thing in the world is to be with somebody, to live with somebody, and you beefing with them. I know y'all can relate. See, that's identification. I mean, y'all walking past each other, not even speaking. Sleeping in the same bed, not even speaking. She don't want to give in, and you don't want to give in. And somewhere along the line, I'm sitting in my office at my desk, and I'm saying, what's going on? And I don't even know why we arguing. And somewhere my conscience kicked in and say, Thaddeus, you got to be the bigger person. It don't matter that she got more time than you, because what I found out, time don't equal recovery. Right? And then I wind up.
That's right.
I wind up going right. And saying, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's right.
You know, and I thank God for the opportunity. You know, so just for today, I haven't wanted to run away from home, because I have those days when I want to run away from home. I told my sponsor that. I said, man, I wish I was back in transition. He said, be careful what you wish for. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have to pay a lot of bills and the whole nine yards. You know, but servicemen at home is a great topic, man, because I've had multiple opportunities, man, through Narcotics Anonymous helped me, teaching me to live outside of the rooms, because service far exceeds the rooms. You understand? And God always finds a way to put you in position to be of service to others. We was talking about this morning coming up the road, and Diane made me remember I had a sponsee. His name was Ural. One of my first sponsees that I had, and Ural got sick. Ural was from Texas, but he came up here on this end, and he lived up here, and he got sick. He had cancer, and to show you, you know, thank God for her, man. But boy, she has taught me so much. She said that, you know, Ural was living by himself, and he was real sick, and he was starting to deteriorate, and she said, let's bring Ural home. Let's bring you and her here to live with us. Now, you know, that's a big piece when you bring somebody in your house to live with you, because you got to take care of them. So that's major responsibility. And we did it. And she had to point out this morning how petty I am, right? She made me remember. Yeah, man, because, you know, because Ural was in the basement. We put him in the basement. We have a room in the basement, and it's cold down there, and we had to buy some heaters. And I forgot, but she said that she bought the heaters, and I didn't put up half of the money. So it's something that I forgot she didn't. But anyway, we was able to, yeah, I know. Because, you know, I know, you know, me being tight, that's one of my character defects. I'm tight, and she lets me know it, too. Okay, I am. So anyway, so we was able to take care of Ural until he went through his transition. I was able to convince him to let me call his family to come up and get him. And myself and some other sponsees went and cleaned out his apartment and called his brother and them up, and they was able to come and get him. And he was supposed to go into the Cancer Institute. They have a big one down in Houston, Texas. And Ural left us, and the week after he left, he passed. Right? So every opportunity that God has placed in my life that I've had an opportunity to be of service, it's been an honor. I think two things I'm going to share, and I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to share with my uncle first. I had an uncle, Uncle Wynn. He lived over in the Southeast, and he had diabetes, and he lost both his legs. And because of my aunt had died, and Uncle Wynn was living by himself, so my sister and I had made the commitment to go over there and take care of my uncle to the best of our ability. She was working at that time. I was working. So she would go over. She would go over one day and tend to him, and then I would go over the other day. We would take turns. And we would cook for him and feed him and do what we needed to do. One day I went over, what had happened one day, we had a cookout at work. And we had some spare ribs on the cookout. And I had all these spare ribs, and I got this big old plate of spare ribs and with aluminum foil and potato salad. And I said, well, what I'm going to do, instead of taking home, let me take them over Uncle Wynn's house. And I didn't have anywhere to put them in the refrigerator, so it was I had a Kentucky Fried Chicken box. So I put them in the Kentucky Fried Chicken box, stuck them in the refrigerator, and went on home. And so I said, when I get off of work the next day, I'm going to come over when I get home. And all day at work, I was thinking about them spare ribs. When I get over Uncle Wynn's house tonight, eat them spare ribs, man, because I was hungry. And I got over there, went up to see him, helped change them, and I went down to the refrigerator to get the spare ribs, and I took the box out and I put it in the microwave. Got the potato salad out and heated it, and when I took the box out the microwave, I opened the box, it was bones in it. And now, I'm figuring now, Uncle Wynn, he had two prosthetic legs. He was in a wheelchair. He couldn't really walk that good. And nobody's in the house but him. So, you know, I went upstairs and I asked him, did he know anything about the spare ribs? And he said, no. I don't know. No. I said, Uncle Wynn, somebody had to eat those spare ribs. I said, was anybody over the house today with my sister here? He said, no. Wasn't nobody here but me. So I knew he was lying. He was lying. So I said, okay. And like my friend over here, that particular day I wasn't spiritual. So I said, okay. So I left. I didn't change him. I left. And I went home. He must bear ribs. But the program, y'all did this. Y'all, the program. I'm at home, man. And I mean, man, this is 12 o'clock at night, man. And I tell Diane about it, and she said, you did what? She said, you left him in his urine? You left him in his feces? All because of some spare ribs? So she wasn't sanctioning it. So my conscience really started kicking in. And I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. I had to get up. It was 2:45 in the morning and go from Fort Washington to Southeast 1st Street. And I went up there and he was still laying in his feces. Because of my self-centeredness. Right? And I told him, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. Uncle Wynn, please forgive me. And I changed him, and I asked for forgiveness. And while I was changing him, he said, you know how I ate your spare ribs. I said, Uncle Wynn, I said, why did you eat my spare ribs? He said, because they was in my refrigerator. All right, so, so that's how God kind of do. I'm going to share this last thing. I'm going to share it about my moms, my process with my moms, and how God brought me in, cleaned me up, and put me in position because he already knew what was going to happen. You know, when I first came here, the predecessors would say, Thaddeus, you'll find out by the time you get to the 12th step, you're not working for you anymore. You're working for a higher consciousness. Okay? So when my mother, man, was diagnosed that she had congestive heart failure and she was in the hospital, she told my sister and I, she said, I do not want to die in the hospital. Take me home.
That's right. That's right.
Right? So we took her home.
That's right.
And we was in the position that we could take care of my mother at the end. And thank God we didn't have to put her in a nursing home, that my sister was retired, and I was able to go over and help my sister with being of service to my mother. And I need to tell you, it was a great honor, but it was a struggle. I would be lying if I wouldn't tell you it wasn't a struggle, because a lot of days I was in the way. A lot of days my patience and intolerance was very short. And I remember the palliative care people said, Thaddeus, because my mother had gotten to the place, and you know what? It's something when I heard somebody say, sometimes, man, with clean time, you will find yourself in newcomer status. You will find yourself going through stuff you've never been through before. But thank God for people who have been here and been through it, because that's why we share. So we share to let you know, if I can get through it, you can get through it too. And there's a lot of people who have gotten through that. I would struggle, man, because they said that is because I would talk to my mother, and my mother, man, sometimes she didn't even know who I was. Sometimes she remembered what happened, man, in 1960, but couldn't remember what happened at 9 o'clock that morning. And they said, that's okay when she do that. Just say, okay, mama. Okay, mama. And I struggled with changing her. I struggled with feeding her. And I would go to a meeting and share, and people would say, don't you remember she changed and fed you?
That's right.
And the day that she died, I was there. And I was honored to have been of service to my mother. And I couldn't have done it without y'all. So I thank God for the people who said, Thaddeus, go to meetings. Go through the journey of the steps. Because God is setting you up, because this is a setup for real. You don't even recognize it. You dig what I'm saying? Because when you stay here for a while, it ain't about you no more. It's about you helping somebody else. Because why do you think God gave you two arms? One to receive and one to give. Because when you receive it, you just can't keep it. You got to give it. You got to be there for the next person. You got to be there for that newcomer. You got to be there for the daughter who told you she hates you when you got here. But you stayed clean, and she saw you stay clean, and because you stayed clean, she asked you to walk her down the aisle when she got married. That's Narcotics Anonymous. So again, I want to thank y'all. I want to thank this convention committee for asking me to be of service, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.